So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we're going to just look. My sermons are typically more word than anything. Tonight, it's going to be a little different. We have one verse. You know what that means. We'll be here till midnight. No, not really. One verse, John chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse 32. Actually, we'll go ahead and read verse 31 as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Last night, of course, was the holiday, if you want to call it that, of Halloween. Now, as a Christian, we don't celebrate Halloween per se, but as a kid who grew up in a secular home, I've been trick-or-treating, and I've got my share of candy. And, of course, we gave out candy. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you about last night. When I got back to Fort Gibson, there was cop cars blocking the entrance to our addition with their lights on. I thought someone had been murdered. No, it was trick-or-treaters. I had to pull up, and the cop asked me, "Do you live here, sir?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Okay, you can go in." And he had the entrance blocked. I had to go into the exit area. He said, "Turn on your hazard lights and drive very slow." It was a madhouse. There were thousands of kids. The entire population of Fort Gibson was dropped off on our neighborhood. And Carolyn went through the candy that we had, all five bags, in a half an hour and had to turn off the porch light. It was crazy. So I began to think about Halloween. I was thinking about when I was a kid. You know, when I first, as young as I can remember, heard about Halloween, I was like, "Wait, what? What? They're going to give me candy?" You know, I mean, it's kind of like, as a kid, that's pretty shocking. And I just have to put on I have to dress up. I can do that. I can do that. You know, candy, give me candy. And so, you know. And then, of course, you get those masks, and I don't know what they make that little rubber band out of, but, you know, it only lasts one putting on, and then, pop, it snaps. And then you try to tie it, and it gets short, and it's cutting off your circulation, and finally you have to just hold it up. And then there's the trying to breathe with the thing on, you know. It has a little opening for the mouth and two little nostril holes, and like me who wore glasses, your glasses are fogging up underneath it, and it's all for the sake of candy, right? So, now that's all fun to remember back, but the reality is people today also wear masks. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the masks that us grown adult people wear. There are emotional masks, and the mask we hide behind because of fear. You know, the Bible speaks more about fear not than just about any topic in the Bible. And fear is a great motivator for a mask. If we're insecure, we might hide behind the mask of name dropping. Well, you know, he did this or she did that to elevate yourself because of your insecurities. If we're unsure of our power, we can hide behind the mask of bullying. A lot of people do that. They try to project that they're stronger than this guy by being a bully. If we don't think the world loves us, we can hide behind the mask of anger. Have you ever known someone who just seemed angry all the time? And the reality is they just don't know God's love. And so they're angry. And they have this mask, and it's a defense against their lack of love or their loneliness. Some people mask the debt they have, insecurity, by living a lifestyle they can't afford and trying to keep up with the Joneses, no pun intended. We pretend that things are fine at work and maybe our job is on the line. How's your work? Oh, great, you know, and they get, you know, they're not real. It's the mask they're wearing. And then some people even pretend that their marriage is okay when maybe it's not. It's not what it used to be. And they smile through it and say, oh, yeah, everything's fine, you know. This mask could be called the imposter syndrome. The fear that the world is going to find us out. You know, I think I shared with you, I don't know, in a sermon a few months ago about when I was sent to Children's Medical Center from Hillcrest, and they took me down and introduced me, and some gal asked a question. I said, I have no idea how to do that, but I'll try to find out. And she said, looked at the other one, he actually tells the truth, you know. And some people, you know, they try to, fake their way through, right? Putting on a mask like they know what they're talking about when they don't have a clue. Well, like I said, most of these masks are motivated by fear. And the Bible says the fear of man is a snare. And so you might say the mask that you're wearing to cover your fear is a snare. And, of course, Jesus told us not to fear man who destroys the body, but God who can destroy the body and soul in hell. One of our greatest fears is that if we show our true selves, the world will say, oh, it's just you. You know, I like that because I like me. You know, I shared with you when I was preaching at my aunt's church one time, I told my Halloween joke, timely, you know, why did the skeleton not cross the road? He didn't have the guts. And she's glaring at me, saying, I'm just trying to picture your grandmother acting like that, you know. And so the reality is sometimes other people push us into acting a certain way, wearing a mask. I'm going to wear the Pentecostal mask, and I'm going to hoop and holler and shout and don't tell jokes and look like I've been baptized in lemon juice and all of this stuff so they'll think I'm spiritual, you know. But I don't like those. I like to be me. I like, you know, and I'm sorry if my aunt didn't like my sense of humor. She probably isn't the first one that didn't like my sense of humor, by the way. But nevertheless, God loves us to be real and to be honest and to take off the masks. Amen. I don't care if people say, oh, it's just you. I don't care if they say, you know, when I was in children's ministry at Calvary, I'd go with Brother Moon to these meetings for a district. He was a presbyter at one time over a district, or even before he was, we'd go to these district meetings, and a different AG preacher would preach to all these other preachers. You know, you get a room full of preachers, it's very interesting, because when they're standing around, if they're not talking about the Lord, they're talking about how many people they had in Sunday school. And it becomes, you know, it's no different. I mean, you got car salesmen together, they talk about how many sales they had. You get preachers together, they talk about how many they had in Sunday school. Well, what are you running this time this year, you know? And you're just like, oh my gosh, they're so carnal. They're no different than a car salesman or a banker or anybody else comparing their numbers when numbers are not what it's about. And so everybody puts on a mask. But why would we need to feel like we don't want people to just see us as we are? And oftentimes it's because we don't like who we are. Like I said, I don't mind people seeing me because I like who I am. And God knows I am not a normal person, as many of you know. Not many people have a starship in their bedroom, so I am a little bit cut a little bit out of the norm. But I'm okay. I love me. And until you can love yourself, it's pretty hard to love others, and it's pretty hard to take off the masks, because you become worried about what people might think. Amen. There was a time when I did not know anything about codependency or boundaries. I still am a long way from an expert on this area. I have shared with some people some of what I have learned. And I had to learn it because I didn't always not wear masks. And we all still struggle at times with the mask trying to come up as a defense mechanism. I haven't arrived. But codependency or lack of boundaries or being a people pleaser, these all lead to not liking who you are. Sometimes we try to get someone to please us because we feel we need that to be complete. And that's what really codependency is. And when you have a lack of boundaries, you know, boundaries are what we have in our fence, you know, that separates my yard from your yard. But emotionally, we have boundaries too. And we if someone is rude to us or whatever, they're throwing trash in our yard emotionally. And it's okay to say, I don't want you to do that. That's wrong. Get your trash out of my yard. Or don't talk to me that way, right? But sometimes we live under a mask of fear of what will people say. And so we don't always have healthy boundaries. Now, Jesus had healthy boundaries. People wanted him to stay and keep healing and teaching. And you would think, well, you know, this is Jesus. He needs to stay and keep healing and keep teaching. But he would at some point just withdraw himself so he could go pray, because he knew what was more important than just healing and teaching. Amen? Because the best teacher and the best healer are the people who have a best relationship with the Father. Amen? And Jesus understood that. So Jesus had boundaries. He withdrew himself to pray. He took care of himself so he could take care of others. And you really are ill-equipped to take care of others if you cannot take care of yourself. He actually told people no, as we know no is a complete sentence. He told people no. He made people be a part of their healing. Now go wash the mud off your eyes in the pool of Siloam and you'll be healed. I don't want to go to the pool of Siloam. I just want you to heal me. Well, sorry. You know, so sometimes what he did had certain conditions with it. And if they didn't do those conditions, guess what? They didn't get healed. Now, just about everybody he said that to usually went and did it, right? And he didn't do it for them. He didn't say, okay, I'll put this mud, and now I'm going to go get a bucket of water from the pool of Siloam, and I'm going to wash it off, and then you'll be healed. No, he didn't do it for them. He said, I'll do this, but your responsibility is to do that. The blind men, the 10 blind men, after he healed them, he said, go show yourself to the priest according to the law of Moses. And when they turned to go show themselves to the priest, they began to be healed. If they'd have said, you know, Jesus, I don't really want to go to the priest. I like hanging out with you. I just soon stay here. Okay, you can follow me. You can see where I'm going. But if you go show yourself to the priest, you'll be healed. Amen. And so this is what he did. Now, before you can let people see who you really are, you have to like who you really are, or you'll keep hiding behind masks. And I kind of said that already, but I just want to reemphasize it. Before you can let people see who you really are, you have to like who you really are, or you will keep hiding behind masks. I don't know, how do you like who you are? Well, you first start thinking about what it is that makes me happy. Now, I know that doesn't sound real spiritual, especially in light of Philippians 2, that we shouldn't please ourselves but look out for the interests of others, right? I'm not talking about totally self-absorbed and blowing everybody off. I'm talking about just some balance in your life where, you know, you think that I'm only going to be happy if I'm constantly taking care of everybody else and you don't take care of yourself. Again, Jesus went away and had prayer time. He took care of himself. And so we have to take care of ourselves before we can really let people see who we really are. The Beatles song, Eleanor Rigby, I've mentioned that before because we have a little Ellie with us, right? Says she keeps her face in a jar by the door. Now what that means is that when Eleanor Rigby left her house, she put on her mask. Her Christian mask, her praise the Lord mask. And she went to church with her praise the Lord smile and her praise the Lord vocabulary. And then when she got home, she took her mask or her face off. And then the question in the song is, Eleanor Rigby keeps her face in the jar by the door. Who is it for? Well, that's a profound statement when you think about it. Who is she doing this for? Is she doing it for herself? Or is she doing it for others? Then it goes back to being worried about what other people think. That when you come to the church, if you're not saying, praise the Lord, brother, oh, I'm blessed, You know, when I was in Abilene, Texas, they made me an associate pastor. I was really kind of green. I hadn't preached many sermons, but they knew I had a desire to be in the ministry and the pastor. And they were big Kenneth Copelandites, as I call them. And the pastor's wife, when I'd walk in the door, she'd say, "How be ye?" I'd say, "Fine." And she'd say, "And?" "Abundant." "And?" And she wouldn't let me pastor unless I said, "Blessed." That's the way they say it in Abilene, Texas. "Blessed." And so I tried to say every word other than blessed because that's just my nature. Abundant, proficient, exuberant. How many synonyms can you come up with for blessed? And so finally I knew I'd never going to get past there unless I said blessed. And so I'd say blessed. And some people think you got to wear that mask. You got to be, you're blessed. You got to confess it. You got to possess it. You got to say it. You got to walk in it. You got to wear it. Well, maybe I don't feel blessed today. I know God says I'm blessed. Maybe I feel crappy. Maybe you get, "How you doing, brother?" "I'm pretty crappy." Can I say that in a sermon? I guess I did. And you know what? I'm not wearing a mask when I'm saying it, am I? I'm not wearing a mask at all. I'm just being real. And my gosh, don't we have enough phoniness in the world? Isn't it time we just be real? Becoming authentic is a process to begin knowing ourselves. When I begin to be authentic, then I start realizing just who I am. When I first went in the ministry or started out in the ministry, I vacillated between, am I a Jimmy Swaggart or am I Pastor Chuck? And sometimes I'd preach hell and fire and brimstone sermons and slap the pulpit because that's what you're supposed to do. And sometimes I'd teach and, you know, and trying to figure out who I am. And finally one day I thought, you know, I'm neither one. I'm just who I am. I'm just going to be me. Now, I think a lot of who we are, or the masks we wear, I should say, is influenced by television. So I thought it'd be fun to take a little journey through some different characters in television. And even though we know it's not real, it has tremendous impact on us and our masks that we wear. So the first mask we're going to talk about is the June Cleaver mask. I'm dating myself because Bobby has no idea who June Cleaver is, do you? And the rest of us probably do. Have you ever heard of Leave It to Beaver? Okay, there you go. That's the mom, June Cleaver. June Cleaver is the positive persona mask, okay? The positive persona mask. These are many different types. There are many different types of June Cleavers. The spiritual June Cleaver, the superficial, confident June Cleaver, the overly friendly June Cleaver, and all of these masks are usually wrapped in a big fake smile. Right? You know, I was thinking about the smile. I was thinking about Facebook profiles. And I was thinking, I wonder what would happen if everybody posted their Facebook profile of them when they first got out of bed in the morning. You know, with their hair sticking straight up, you know. And you're going through looking at your friends. You're like, you know. Wouldn't that be fun to just get all your friends to take a picture of you when you get out of bed in the morning and make that your Facebook profile? Well, I tell you what, no, there's no June Cleavers that would do that because June Cleaver's makeup is perfect and her hair is perfect and her smile is perfect. She is spiritual. She is superficially confident. You know, speaking of makeup, I have nothing against makeup. In fact, I like women in makeup. I'm not saying you should wear it. Back during the Prohibition, you know, there was an evangelist named Billy Sunday. And he was preaching against the alcohol, you know, and they'd have these open air, and all these people would be standing around these open air meetings. And one day they said, "Reverend Sunday, what do you think of makeup?" And he said, "Any old barn looks good painted." So I like that statement. I'm not calling anybody a barn. I'm just saying a little paint doesn't hurt anything, right? But I tell you what, I've seen women with too much makeup. And do you know what that is? That's a mask, isn't it? Remember when those T-shirts came out and said, "I ran into Tammy Faye," and it was like all that makeup on you? I love those things. Those are so funny. But, you know, there is something inside wrong for anyone who goes to an extreme. And I see so much makeup, you wonder what scars this person is carrying that they have to compensate or overcompensate with a ton of makeup. Anyway, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just telling you what I think. So you got the June Cleaver, the plastic smile mask, who thinks she always has to be happy, right? I knew a person who was talking to a pastor and had some marital issues, and the pastor was so cool that he said, you know, me and my wife hadn't been getting along real good lately either, and she's busy doing this and has no time for me. And the person was shocked. The reason they were shocked is because pastors aren't supposed to have any problems or have any issues. But this pastor was wise enough to take off the pastor mask. And you know what? Everybody has fights with their spouse. Everybody has marital issues at times. Everybody gets depressed. Everybody gets mad. And anytime you think someone doesn't, they're wearing a mask. They're wearing the June Cleaver mask, right? Okay, the second TV persona is the Arnold Schwarzenegger. Did I do that pretty good? The over-contrived strength persona, okay? If the June Cleaver was the feminist version, this is the masculine version. The Arnold Schwarzenegger over-contrived strength persona. When back in 06, when Deborah went crazy and all this, and Brother Moon, I leaned heavily on him, and he told me I should step down from the ministry, close the church. You know, this is not something I can pastor and do this. And I said, oh, I can do this, you know. I couldn't do it. It was stupid. I should have listened to the man, right? But I was wearing the Arnold Schwarzenegger mask. I'm super pastor. I can do this. I can do this. I'm strong. I'm going to pump you up and scare you. Okay. So anyway, I'm being silly. But, you know, I can't carry 5 dozen eggs without dropping one. I've never tried, but I'm sure I can't. I'm not talking about in cartons. I'm talking about just eggs in my arms. Do you think you could do it? There are limits to what we can do. But for some reason, especially men, not all, some women too, for some reason we wear this I can do all things mask. And yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but not all things has Christ called me to do. He didn't call me to carry 5 dozen eggs individually without breaking them. And he didn't call me to try to hold a church together when my life has fallen apart. You know what I'm saying? And so there are times when you have to take the mask off and not try to be strong and admit you can't carry this burden alone. You don't have what it takes to get through this, and you need help, and you need to do it God's way. Amen? You know, when Paul sought the Lord to have him remove the thorn from his life, all he got in return was, "My grace is sufficient for you." Right? And so Paul said that he would glory in his weakness, that the grace of God would abide on him. And yet, some of us, wearing the Arnold Schwarzenegger mask, we would say, well, you know, I don't want to keep this thorn. I don't like this thorn. I'm strong. I'm going to get rid of this thorn. But the thorn was the thing that brought more grace in Paul's life. So being weak is not bad if it brings the grace of God. Amen? And so take off the Arnold Schwarzenegger mask. Admit that you can't do everything. And let the grace of God make up the difference. Amen? All right, number three, I guess this is not really a TV personality, is the Albert Einstein, the intellectual persona. You know, obviously you don't see a lot of this in churches, but you do see it in businesses, in jobs. You know, there's always the guy who can do it better, who can, and whatever more. And I'm sure you see it sometimes, especially in ministry, where, you know, there's the talent thing. I can sing that song better. I can preach that sermon better. I can whatever better, you know. And kind of like the pastors comparing how many they have in Sunday school. And it's that intellectual persona that I'm smarter than you, and so I'm going to wear this Albert Einstein mask. And it's and superiority is an illusion. I mean, it's an illusion. None of us are superior to each other. Jesus is the big one, and we're all the little children. in the family. And that's all we are. We're just brothers and sisters. We're just little children under the umbrella of God's almighty hand. And so superiority is an illusion. It's not real. We're not special or unique. We're all strangely different, but at the same time the same. And so why not listen instead of pretending you know everything? Have you ever known anybody that has to interrupt you because they know everything? Oh, I tell you what about the guy that wants to finish your sentences for you? Have you ever met one of those guys? And you get half the sentence and they want to finish it for you. And at sometimes I'm just like, okay, go ahead. What else am I thinking? Okay, then shut up and let me talk for a minute. You know. But sometimes those intellectuals, they want to finish your sentence. They want to out-talk you. They've always got the answer. They don't know. And so listen for a change. Stop pretending you know everything. Take a space, contemplate, think before you speak, be humble, and give others a chance to talk, to dream, to brainstorm. Don't wear the Albert Einstein mask all the time. Take it off. Amen. And the fifth one of the five is the Mother Teresa mask. I had a brother tell me one time, I was kind of whining to him, going through some hard times whining, and he said, "Get off the cross, we need the wood." It shocked me. I was like, "Huh? But get off the cross, we need, you know." In other words, suck it up and quit whining. You know, the Mother Teresa is the nice person. You know, Mother Teresa's would never say that to someone. They like most people. They want to be liked by everyone. They're a people pleaser. They want to keep people around at all costs, and that cost can sacrifice their own happiness or their ability to make others happy. They're always trying to please someone else, and so they're never, ever happy. Amen? You know, there's really two kinds of people. There's people who please themselves. Actually, there's three. There's the healthy guy that we're trying to get to be, and then there's the two unhealthy people. The people that want to please themselves all the time are the people that want to get their pleasure by pleasing others. And, you know, when you get your pleasure by pleasing others, you're never going to please them. And you're going to do all these things, and then they're still going to disappoint you, and then your bubble's going to burst, and you're like, "Why am I so depressed? Don't they know what I did for them?" Well, you didn't do it for them. You did it for you. You got the Mother Teresa mask on, and you're trying to get your peace and your joy by doing this or doing that, and you just need to like yourself without doing anything. Amen? And so many of us fear that if we put on our own needs first, we'll alienate those around us and end up lonely. Can I read that again? Many of us fear that if we put our own needs first, we'll alienate those around us and end up lonely. You know, I know as a pastor, I have disappointed some people because I couldn't be there right when they were in the hospital or right when they had a crisis. I also know that I'm working a full-time job that's pretty stressful and doing a lot of things, and I'm not making excuses. I just know what my limitations are. And, you know, if I was constantly doing all of this, wearing that super pastor mask, wearing that Mother Teresa mask, everybody might like me, but I would probably get burned out real quick and maybe say, "I can't do this anymore, Lord." And if Jesus had wore the Mother Teresa mask and kept healing, kept teaching, and kept healing and teaching, instead of saying, "Man, I got to go get along with the Father," he would have been burned out. You say, "Well, he's Jesus." No, he was all God, but he was all man. Amen? And so this people-pleasing thing is one of the things. Now, the English accent, and I don't mean English like we talk, because Oklahoma, some people say that we don't even speak English in Oklahoma, right? Carolyn probably would take odds with that. I'm talking about British accent. The British believe that the R sound make their face ugly. So years ago, they decided that when they say R, they curl up their, and so they don't say R's. They don't say R's. If you listen to British people, they intentionally leave the R's off. I had an English composition teacher tell me this, and I thought, is she crazy? What's she talking about? They don't say R's. And they don't say R's. But what, you know what else she said is, but the R's are there subconsciously, and they end up somewhere else in their sentence. So I just kind of filed that away. This was back in the 1990s. And I'm sitting in front of my TV watching one of the first runs of Star Trek The Next Generation. Patrick Stewart, who is British, playing a French man, but he's a British actor, right? And he says, Commander Data. Commander Data. But he doesn't say it that way because he's British. And British says that the R makes your face ugly. So he doesn't say the R in Commander, but guess where the R is at? Commander Data is what he said. And I said, she was right. Commander Data. And I had with VHS taping it after the episode. I rewound it, watched it a couple. Commander Data, Commander Data, Commander Data. Now, what does all that have to do with masks? It's the same way with people pleasers. You don't really want to do X or Y because you feel like you will let someone down. And so you don't. But then, just like the R showing up later, the disappointment comes in some other form. So you think that you're playing it safe by not having healthy boundaries, by wearing your mask, by not letting someone down, by being a people pleaser, by being a Mother Teresa, and it's only going to haunt you later, just like that secret R. And so we got to take off the masks. You will get resentful, and it will come out. You will get angry. Have you ever known someone that has a, I'm just going to use a good example. They have a bad marriage, but because they're a Christian, they can't chew out their wife and say what they really think, so they chew out their kids who are totally innocent. You see what I'm saying? Because they got this vented up anger, and they got to wear that mask that I'm a good Christian, and I would never talk like that to my spouse. And then you get mad because the kids spilled the milk, and you really tear into them. But who's your anger directed at? It's anger at the person that hurts you. It's that R trailing out later on. And so, we've got to take off the masks. No is a complete sentence. And if someone throws garbage in your yard, you tell them, you know what? You don't need to talk to me that way. I don't deserve that. Ooh, what if they won't like me anymore? What if they leave the church? What if, you know, let's be real. Let's take off the masks. Okay, we're going to close. Three practical reasons why we should shed our masks. Number one, to live into our potential. How long does it take? You know, Paul said, I'd like to give you meat, but you're still on milk. And I think some of us, it takes our whole lifetime before we finally get to a place where we start getting some of this stuff. You know? Seriously. And so, I want to live to my potential. I want to be happy. I want to be whole inside. I don't want to have to put on a mask to say I'm happy. I want to be really happy. And so I have to take care of me, and I have to set healthy boundaries, and I have to shred these masks. And if someone crosses those boundaries, I got to tell them about it and not hide that R for it to come out later. So number one, to live into our potential. Number two, three practical reasons why we should shed our masks. Number two is relief. It's exhausting to live an inauthentic life, trying to be someone you're really not, trying to convince people that you're something you're not. It's exhausting to live an inauthentic life. It's exhausting to try to pretend to be something you're not. And so, when you take off the mask, you're like, oh, that feels so good. You mean I can tell a joke about a skeleton in church? Yeah, but what about my aunt Emma, you know? Well, you know what? She's got her own issues. You take care of yours, right? I'm just going to be me. It's a relief. Number three. Three reasons why we should shed our mask. Number one, to live to our potential. Number two, because it's a relief. Number three, is healing. When we wear masks, we carve a piece of ourselves out, withholding parts of ourselves as unworthy. Unworthy. Have anybody ever heard of, what's his name? Reavers is last name. I can't think of his first name. He was a Vietnam vet. And has anybody heard of this guy, Reaver? I can't think of his first name. Okay, well, let me just tell you about this guy. Talk about masks. Wow. He's in Vietnam, and he gets hit with a phosphorus grenade. Phosphorus grenades just keep burning. Gets hit in the gut with a phosphorus. It blows up. Phosphorus is all over him, right? It's on his face. It's on his gut. They're carrying him in one of those, you know, medic things, and they say, put him on his belly because it's burning through him, right? So it won't burn through his backbone. So they put him on his belly, and it burns the cloth, and it hits the ground. He said, talk about having a bad day, you know. And so they have to pick him up, and they're dragging him. You know, he's covered in this phosphorus. It's burning. It's melting his face away. And he's in a MASH unit, and then he's airlifted back to the States, and he's in the best military hospital they have. Anyway, he's next to another guy who's pretty messed up. Not as bad as him, but he's pretty messed up. And he's you know, he's got all these bandages around him and everything, and this other guy's wife comes in and sees him and takes off a ring and says, I could never love you now. And walks out. And about an hour later, his wife comes in, and there's one part of his face that looks normal. One little part. Have you ever seen him? His eyes are like this. His lip comes down like this. One eye. Freaky look. He would scare. Talk about, you don't need a Halloween mask. And his wife comes in and kisses that one little spot and says, I love you, honey. I'm always going to be here for you. Isn't that awesome? And this guy's went around and he's talked at schools. And he talked to this little girl who was being abused. And he's got a connection with kids because he talks at their level. You know, you can't pretend to be something when you get a face like that. You're just real. Some people want to look away. And this little girl begins to cry. Or no, excuse me, the story is he begins to cry for the little girl. And she puts her finger up there and pulls the tears down that rugged face of his and says, no one ever cried for me. And here's a man with a face, and he is not wearing a mask. He's real. Amen. And, you know, there's another guy, and forgive me for not knowing his name. I think he's Baptist. And he has some mental issues, a speech impediment, and he preaches, and he preaches good, and he says in that speech, if I could preach like this, then you could preach too, you know, in that, because he's real. And you see people like that, and you go, yeah, wouldn't you like to be like him? And the idea is that you can, because when you shed the masks and you start being real and quit worrying about what people, I mean, these guys didn't worry. And said, well, I'd like to go in the ministry, but my face all messed up now. Nobody will listen to me. I'd like to go in the ministry, but I got this speech impediment and these mental issues. Nobody's going to listen to me. But the idea is that some of us are so worried and are wearing masks so much that we won't step out and do things that these guys will do because of the masks that we wear. And so we need to shed the masks and be healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Nola. I want to just take a minute before we go, and let's just let the Lord minister a bit. I think his name was Steve Reaver, but you might Google Reavor. I think is his last name. You might Google that if you've never seen him speak or heard him. It'll bless you. It'll bless you. Hallelujah. You know, It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to just put it out there. It's okay to admit you're wrong. It's okay to admit you're scared. It's okay to admit you're not perfect. None of us are. We will never, ever, ever change until we can take off our masks and be real with ourselves and with each other, so that we can live the life God intended. It's a relief, it's healing. When we wear masks, we carve a piece of ourselves out. There's parts of you that the Lord has wanted to use for years. Don't put yourself in a box. Don't assume anything. Just take off all the masks and say, Lord, I want to be real. I want to be genuine. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to keep my face in a jar by the door and come to church with my praise the Lord face on. If I'm not happy, if I'm angry, if I'm hurt, if I'm disappointed, I want to be real. I know the people around here are going to love me just as I am. And so, Lord, you know, I've been playing games and pretending things were okay and they weren't. So help me, Lord, to be real. Help me, Lord, to take off the masks. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Help me, Lord, to take off the mask. If you're here tonight and maybe the Lord has put his finger on a mask, maybe you're a June Cleaver, maybe you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe you're a Mother Teresa always trying to please others, maybe you're one of the others we mentioned, maybe the Lord put his finger on one of those and said, you know, that sounds a lot like you. And you say, Brother Roger, pray for me that God would help me to take off that mask. Just slip your hand up right now, back down. Just pray for me, Brother Roger. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? All right. We're not going to ask you to come forward. There were hands. And so as I pray for the people around you. Pray that God helps them to not let this mask hide any potential in their life. Help them, Lord, to just shed the masks, to be real, and to let you make a change in their life. As we leave, Lord, don't let us leave this message sitting here on the altar or on our seat. Help us to take it with us. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our life. Help us, Lord, to shed the masks. We know we can do that not by our own strength, by our own power, but only by your grace, only by your mercy. So we look to you tonight to be the one who cuts the little rubber band. Says, son, it's time to take it off. It's time to take it off. You'll be all right. Doesn't matter what people think. All that matters is what I think. So tonight, Lord, we're shedding our masks. Shedding our masks. We're going to let the Lord shine through us just as we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead. You want to sing?
Son of God, enfold you with his spirit and his love. Let him fill your life and satisfy your soul.